Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, go to YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there on YouTube. NFL Week 4 began last night up in the Meadowlands, the Cowboys and the Giants. Don't forget, I'll have my Week 4 NFL picks in the feed for you coming up on Saturday morning. But we got the kickoff of Week 4, and we got ourselves a game that was pretty predictable. I thought the Giants were the right side on the spread, plus 5.5. I thought Dallas would win a close game. They really needed that game to kind of save their season before it went off the rails. But after watching last night, I really just watched the first 3 weeks plus last night, I think five new realities have emerged here with the state of the NFC East. I want to roll through my takes on the NFC East, really kind of honing in on what I saw last night, what we see for the Commanders, what we know about the Eagles, because this division has changed. This division is not the same division it has been the last few years, where it was a very clear hierarchy of two and then a bottom of two. I don't know if the order has necessarily changed yet. I think it has, because, you know, I think there's something going on in Washington. But I do think the trajectory and the reality of the division has changed. Right, let's go with take number one. And reality number one of the NFC is Dallas just is not impressive. I'm not impressed with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't see it. Their run game is not good. Their quarterback play has been only okay, while last year I thought it was outstanding. Last year I was legitimately impressed by the Dallas Cowboys. I thought they were better than the Eagles. I thought it after a few weeks last year. Obviously the Eagles got off to a better overall start through the first 3 months of the year. And by the end, and it happens, I think, especially over 17 games, now they've added the 17th, you know, the truth will set you free. The truth will come back. I think it's going to be less fluky things. And last year, I would have categorized the Eagles winning the division over the Cowboys as fluky, because the Cowboys were the more impressive team. They outscored their opponents by 100-something points. The Eagles outscored their opponents by like 5. So I'm not surprised what happened last year happened. But this is not as good of a Cowboys team. And you just see it. They are very dependent on three players. They have a serious lack of depth at skill spots on offense and defense. I just don't think their depth is as good as it's been in years past. And right now, Zimmer looks like a downgrade from Dan Quinn and what he did defensively. So I'm not seeing it right now with the Dallas Cowboys. They look like a blah team to me. They look like a team that's going to win 8 or 9 games, not a special football team. They really could have lost, probably should have lost last night to a, you know, below-average Giants team. And I know it's a short week. That's a road game. That's not an easy spot for the Cowboys. But I think the fact that that game was close really shows what has changed here with Dallas, because the Giants were the one team they would blow the doors off of twice a year, every year. That was their homecoming game. It was the game to get fat. It was the game to get back on track. It was the game to feel good about themselves. And I don't know how they walk out of the Meadowlands last night feeling good about themselves. I mean, they won because the Giants just are inept and are not, you know, just don't have enough. They can't win. They can't make a play late in the game. They didn't win because they're necessarily better. And now Parsons getting carted off with a foot injury. You know, Dallas has issues. And Dallas is one key injury away from falling over in their face. You know, as many issues as the Eagles have, they could sustain with an injury or two, because they have a better roster. They could sustain if they lose an A.J. Brown. They won a game last week. They could sustain if they lose, you know, a pass rusher or a defensive player, because they have more than one guy. I'd even think they could sustain if they lost Jalen Hurts for a few weeks because they have Kenny Pickett. I just think the Cowboys are very top-heavy. The depth underneath the top-heaviness has really gotten worse. They're not as good as they were last year by any means. I'd be shocked if they get close to 12 wins. Dallas just as impressive, takeaway number one. The second take is they do have one impressive, super impressive player that has emerged here and really emerged last year, but now has come on pretty strong, and that is Brandon Aubrey, their kicker. Remember 2 years ago when the Cowboys had a playoff game where they couldn't make an extra point against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they're basically trying guys out the next week before they went to San Francisco? How far they've come at that position. Brandon Aubrey's the best kicker in the NFL. He's taken the crown and the throne from Justin Tucker over the last year into now. I mean, Tucker's starting to go on a decline, and he's not been as good or great, but Brandon Aubrey is that. This reminds me of when I first started watching Justin Tucker with the Ravens back in 2012. It's like his leg is better than everybody else's leg. He makes kicks nobody else makes. I mean, he just winding up 60-yarders, 65-yarders like it's nothing, like it's normal. And in a year where the Cowboys have more issues, I think they're going to lean on this. You know, when they have a chance to put some points on the board, and maybe it'll bite them in a game where they need to score more points, they're kicking field goals. But if these games are close and it's more of a lower scoring lead this year, which it looks like we're headed towards, you know, points in week three, like 38 per game, you know, Brandon Aubrey could account for 12, you know, points per game based on how he's kicking right now. And when, you know, the fact that the reality of where teams get the ball after a touchback, and, you know, you don't need many yards to get in this guy's range. He is a phenomenal kicker that looks like, you know, they found something here. But Dallas, for all the joking we do about the things they do wrong, they do find a way to either draft or unearth players. You know, Dak, a fourth rounder, Tony Romo, undrafted. You know, we go through it. They've really found a way over the years. I saw Guyton last night, their first round pick, playing pretty well in the offensive line. Aubrey out of nowhere. They have that knack for finding players. They just screw up contracts and continuity and the whole coaching situation. They find a way to lose. But Aubrey's the real deal. He looks like a special kicker, and they may have stumbled upon the next great NFL kicker. I continue to be like, wow. And I have him in the WIP Fantasy League, WIP Midday Show Fantasy League with our listeners. And he's putting up a lot of points for me right now. It feels like every time he's back there, it's like, whoa. He's a phenomenal player. Dallas, not impressive. Brandon Aubrey, though, he is. All right, my third takeaway on the NFC East. And the new reality is, take Washington seriously. They're not just going to fold now after that. The confidence they have, they had a, the Commanders put out a social video with kind of video of the night in Cincinnati when they won on Monday Night Football, like the pregame stuff on the field, a couple of the shots of the game, the big Jaden Daniels throw down the field to McLaurin to seal the game in the fourth quarter. You see the blitz coming. You see him taking the hit. You see him release the football well before the guy was open. He basically threw him open in the corner of the end zone. Just, you know, obviously the phenomenal stuff from the game. But then you see the locker room afterwards, the camaraderie, the leadership of a Bobby Wagner. They're building something, and I saw that along with their 2-1 record, and I'm like, they're not going anywhere. Now, I don't know if they're going to win this week. It's a very difficult spot on the road in Arizona, you know, to go west after coming home. It's a really tricky spot this week for the Washington Commanders. But are you going to count them out? Are you going to bet against them this week? Are you going to be anti them this week in terms of your picks? I'm not. I'm going to stay away from that game, most likely, because they've proved they just went on the road and won as a 7.5-point underdog against Joe Burrow. So if you could do that, you could do a lot of things. And I believe we need to take the Commanders seriously. When a quarterback plays like Jaden Daniels has his first 3 weeks, it is eye-opening. His completion percentage is over 80. He hasn't thrown an interception. They haven't punted or turned the ball over in two straight games. Two straight games of zero punts, zero turnovers. It is clean. It is operational. It is efficient. It is explosive. It's everything you hope for when you draft a young quarterback. They have it now. And it's changes their ceiling. It changes their short-term and long-term output. And I do believe that Dan Quinn will make their defense competent at some point. And if they have a competent defense or an opportunistic defense, and they have a young quarterback who's scoring a lot of points and moving the football and generating first downs left and right, that feels like a challenge. Now, this week, they'll probably be without Eckler and the concussion protocol. This week's challenging. But as they move forward, they're going to win football games. They have a good young quarterback who looks very mature for his stature and where he is in the NFL right now. They have a veteran coach. I like the Kingsbury hire from the jump. I think Kingsbury's a coordinator. You know, some guys are just coordinators. He's a coordinator, especially when you have a young mobile quarterback. We've seen him with young mobile quarterbacks like Kyler Murray. He can get that done. Number three, and the realities in the NFC East, do not sleep on the Commanders. Take them seriously. Number four, for the first time in a long time, the Giants look competitive. As I mentioned earlier, you know, and I know they made the playoffs 2 years ago, but I just mean in general, that was a fluke year. They were bad in 20, bad in 20. 21, bad at 23. The Giants are usually bad for a gate. Now, the two fluke years, 16-22, where they made the playoffs, they're bad. And coming into the year in week one, when they got blown out at home by the Vikings and Daniel Jones looked terrible, it was like, all right, they're going to be terrible again. We know those are two free, easy wins for the Eagles. Now, the Eagles should still beat the Giants twice. The Cowboys just beat them last night, either building on a short week. But they look more competitive. Their offensive line is better than it has been or was last year and probably in recent years. They have Malik Nabers, who is, you know, is looks as good as a rookie receiver as we see come in the NFL. They all come in great now, but like this guy looks like he could be, you know, special kind of player. When they drafted Odell Beckham, it was a special kind of thing. He looks like that. And those guys don't come in the league super often and kind of that kind of impact. He did get hurt last night, but the Giants just look like there's just more competitiveness to them. Offensive line's better. They got a better pass rush. Jones has played better the last couple of weeks. Rondell Robinson, Nabers is a good pairing. They both have over 10 catches. I don't think the Giants are a three-win team the way I did after week one. They look more like a 6 or 7 win team. And that, again, changes the trajectory of this division because Dallas doesn't look as good. They look like they've come back to the pack. I take Washington seriously. The Giants look like, you know, a last-place team, but I would put them more of as a 6-win last-place team, not a 3-win last-place team. And that brings me all of this. My fifth takeaway, my fifth reality of the NFC is this is the race to 9-8. I don't think this is, you know, in the past it's been Eagles, Cowboys, 14, 13, 12 wins, you know, Commanders, Giants, 5, 6, 4, 3, whatever they land at. And the gap is huge. I don't see that anymore. I look at it and I say, like if I had a handicapper right now, I would put Washington at 9-8, Eagles at 9-8, Cowboys at 8-9, Giants at 6-11. That's the way the division looks to me right now, that it's going to be that kind of thing. Tiebreakers. 9-8. You remember the 2019 season in the NFCs where the Eagles started off really poorly and yet still found a way to win the division with their flurry at the end and get in? I think that's the kind of year it could be where it's less than 10 wins. Even now with 17 games, 9-8 could win this division. I don't think the Eagles are great, but they certainly have more talent than these other teams. But they have question marks. And they have consistency, you know, question marks. We'll see if they could play week to week a certain way. You know, the defense that played against the Saints, can they bring that this Sunday against the Bucs? We'll see. Injury issues right now. Going to have an early bye. We'll see how that affects them as the season goes on. Eagles have the most talent there in my pick to win the division before the season. I think the Commanders are going to be there in the end. I think Dallas is a very mediocre football team right now. And the Giants, and they could affect things based on how they play the other teams in the division. Now, right now, the Giants are 0-2 in the division. They already lost to Washington and Dallas close both games. Are they going to, you know, by the end of the year, the Giants will pick someone off in the division. They'll get a win over one of these teams. They'll split with one of them and they'll probably go 0-2 against someone else. Who do they split with? Is it going to be Dallas? Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be the Eagles? That could determine the winner of the NFCs. It's the margins have thinned out. We have a race to 9-8. We're going to find out as time goes on, is anyone going to pull away? I doubt it. My gut tells me this year, NFCs, there's no pull away. Nobody's going to just run away from everybody else the way some teams have. Now, the Eagles potentially are capable. If it wasn't for Washington, I think they would be the one you'd say is going to pull away. But Washington's going to be there. I mean, that's why I don't think they're going to pull away. And I think we're going to have a December where you walk in and it's going to be like, you know, they put the NFC East standings up if it's a Fox game and Brady or Olsen, hopefully more Olsen, and then we get Brady for the first time this week. I have not been impressed so far with Tom Brady and what he's done as a broadcaster. It's just blah to me. But we get it up there, and they put the standings up, and it's like, you know, all three of the four teams separated by a game, and then, you know, the Giants 2 or 3 games back from that. But it's tight. In years past, it was you just put up Eagles, Cowboys. You didn't even bother with the Commanders. You didn't bother with the Giants. I think the Commanders are for real. I think they're going to stay in this thing with Jaden Daniels doing what he's doing. And I think the Giants are just a little bit more competitive than they have been in years past. And that changes it changed the landscape of this division. This division looks different to me than it has in years past when you just knew no matter what, Eagles, Cowboys at the end, both with 11 or 12 or plus wins, and that would determine a lot of the NFC playoff picture. Right now, I see it differently after watching the first week's plus last night with Week 4's Thursday Night Football. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, and following the podcast. You guys have a great week. Here's what we got coming up on the feed on Saturday. We will have NFL picks for you, and Sunday, tune in, Eagles pregame show. We'll do it live on YouTube on 94WIP, and of course on the WIP and the Odyssey app, Eagles Radio Network, starting at 10 with countdown to kickoff, and then the pregame show at 11, myself and Hugh and Elliot Shore Parks. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.